It is 7:12 on the 17th of November, 2009, the November business meeting of ANC 1D. I observe I'm Greg Edwards, vice chair, and thus filling in for Stormy Scott. I observe the secretary treasurer, Jack McKay, Phil Lepanto, and David Bosserman here, four commissioners constituting a quorum. This meeting was legally noticed a week in advance, and therefore I call the meeting to order. The first item of business is that we go into public discussion period, where people will be recognized at 3 minutes. This time, to encourage people to sit closer to the front and not hide out in back, I would like to start at the very rear of the room and ask you to stand because I can't see you, and would you please also state your two names. Hablamos todos algunas frases.
Muy buenas noches tengan todos. Mi nombre es María Gloria Vargas. Estoy muy contenta de estar con ustedes reunidas en esta noche. Les doy gracias a ustedes, pero primero, gracias a Dios. Gracias.
Gracias.
Good evening. My name is Sonia Vargas, and I'm happy to be here. I'm blessed to be here, and I thank God to be here.
Buenas noches. Mi nombre es Nelly Reyes. Vengo de los apartamentos 3121 de aquí de La Mampres. Gracias por recibirme en este meeting.
Good evening. My name is Gladys Reyes, and I'm
Good evening, my name is Gladys Reyes, and I'm here from 3121. Nelly Reyes, I'm from 3121, and I'm happy to be here.
I'm José Chopin, vengo de 3121 de la Mampresa Street. Pues aquí estoy con ustedes la semana pasada, hace un mes, reunidos aquí en esta reunión, y gracias porque nos dieron las aprobaciones para podernos llegar a la compra del edificio. Así que la compra se cumplió y espero que sigamos siempre nosotros con ustedes acá siempre unidos.
Good evening, my name is José Chopin. I'm from 3121 Mount Pleasant. I'm glad to be here. I was here in the last meeting too, and I just want to let you know that I'm very thankful for your support so we can buy the property and the building at 3121.
Mi nombre es Martín Iraeta, soy miembro de la Asociación Latina.
My name is Rosa Rivas, I'm part of the Latino Association Mount Pleasant.
Mi nombre es David Álvarez, soy de la Asociación Latino Mount Pleasant.
My name is David Álvarez, and I'm part of the Latino Association.
Hello, my name is Jess Corral. I live at 1631 Irving Street, and it's good to be here.
My name is David Vaca. I am here as an observer from the office of Councilmember Jim Graham.
Does anyone else wish to participate in public discussion?
Yes, good evening. My name is Juan Carlos Ruiz, and I need to apologize. First of all, I want for the effort that you have done to translate the agenda for this meeting. It was my desk to translate it and give feedback so we can put it on the website. I failed to do that. I apologize. I promise to keep that, to continue with the process that you guys have developed so we can ensure that. But I want to recognize that was very thoughtful and very meaningful. We are thankful. Thankful for that.
Thank you all. The next item is the Secretary's report.
Okay, this is just the matter of the minutes of the October 20 meeting. Are there any corrections for those minutes?
Hearing no objection, it is assumed, adopted by acclamation.
Okay, and then let me proceed with the
Treasurer's report.
Oh, I did want to point out that I have been posting these meeting notes ahead of time due to popular demand, and they are linked to the ANC1D website so that everybody in the neighborhood can go to the ANC1D website and access these notes for our upcoming meetings.
Any problems with it so far, Jack? Does it works on my machine?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Though evidently my Spanish translation program didn't quite do the job. But then, what do you expect for $50, right? We're trying. Okay, thank you.
Treasurer's report,
okay. At the last meeting, I presented the proposed budget for fiscal year 2010, and we are required after a month's interval to approve that budget. Now, I have made one change since that time, namely, I added $1,200 for the Spanish interpretation, this item right there. I added $1,200 for Ms. Mejia twice a month for the coming year. I trust that she is grateful.
I think we should be grateful for her.
We truly are. So that added $1,200 to the personal services budget, which brings our total now to slightly in excess of our allotment. That is, the total estimated disbursements is there. The annual allotment is there. And as you can see, it projects a slight deficit. I am not concerned about that because these numbers are not that accurate. I think this is a reasonable budget. I should point out that this is an operating budget of routine expenses. So it does not include special expenses, which may exceed this budget and must be authorized separately. The point to this budget is that expenses which fall within this budget do not necessarily require specific approval. The budget itself is that approval.
I will take that as a motion, and I just move things along and we'll second it, and next is discussion. Phil.
I wonder if it would be possible to expand the window and maybe zoom out a little bit so we can look at all the different line items. And if there are any questions from the public, we might be able to answer them.
First is easy. The second requires an authorization.
Yeah, the last column, this last column is the FY 2010 proposed budget. $600 for the meeting room here. $400 for printing and copying. Purchase of service, of course, is the major expense. The purchase of service is the largest single expenditure.
This is things like Tony Grillo putting up posters or...
Yeah, let me show you that, because that's another... okay, what are you doing here? Uh-huh. What am I supposed to do with this? Yeah. Thank you. Okay. That's the posters. That's staff support from Bill Butler. That's an estimate for... We are partway in fiscal year 2010 already. So this is Bill Butler up through December 31. Then this is the next calendar year for Bill Butler. Similarly, for legal expenses, I'm taking what we have allocated for this calendar year and then estimating that for next year. So these are very rough estimates, very rough estimates. And then finally, $1,200 for meet interpreting at meetings.
So we've budgeted $1,800 between October 1st, 2009 and December 31st, 2009 for legal expenses?
That's the remaining authorization for this calendar year. Yes, correct.
Okay. And are contracts in place with these, with I guess, Bill Butler, and I'm assuming Rob Waldeck is the legal contractor. Are those contracts in place already for the next calendar year?
No.
So we're not obligated to spend that money?
That is correct. This is simply an estimate based on current operation.
Dave, any discussion? Seeing no more discussion, Shaw.
With regard to grants, what was the disbursement? These are, I assume this is still a carryover from the beginning of fiscal year 2008, or I guess fiscal year 2009.
Yeah, these are the old grants that we are committed to but have not dispersed. So this is not... assume a new grants program.
And this doesn't include the cost of administering the grants program?
No, that's correct. That comes under the purchase of service.
Now, do we have that allocated under the purchase of service budget for 2010?
We have an allocation. I really don't know if that is the same as this future staff amount or not.
We did place a cap on the on administrative expenditures for the grant program, and you will see a much more detailed rendering of time that was spent and and aligned with tasks and with threads that lead to completion. And it was unfortunately sent out at just a couple hours ago.
I think my greatest concern is that we still have yet to disperse these grants, and we've spent a significant amount of already on administrative costs for the grants, and we have yet to disperse them. So. And then I look at the staff future allocation of $1,500, and we have a bill just from Bill Butler for this month is $500. So I don't see how this budget going into the future is adequately tracking our anticipated staff costs.
I think you're right. But we are continually discovering new problems that the city has put in front of us. I spent a couple of days working on getting the assurances from a local bank that that our grantees in fact could get no-cost checking accounts. But there were hidden charges that took a lot of time to negotiate that they would be locally and administratively removed. Banks are very keen on having hidden fees. and the fees would have eaten up the whole grant. So we are discovering those things. If the commission pleases, I would like to ask Dave Vaca, who has been helping us, David Vaca, with clearing the these problems, if he has any news or ideas about whether we're going to be able to clear out this.
Well, let's focus on the issue at hand, which is the current budget. I think Phil's questions are very appropriate.
Yes.
I think we agree. These are real concerns. We're worried about this, but I don't know what we're going to do about this at this time. That we will keep an eye on it, and next time I will give you a more detailed report about our expenditures concerning grants, because that's also my responsibility to make sure that we stay within that cap.
Let me point out that any time the commission can revise the budget. I also went online just a few minutes ago to check, and the DC code says we have 60 days. So we have a little time, but not very much, and we might as well do it now. Phil.
I mean, I certainly recognize that this is a budget for the year, but it is not a limitation in any way. If we need to allocate more funds, then we can, as long as we have them available. And I think for those of you who don't know, the ANC has been a good steward of city money in the past, and there are additional funds in the bank in case we do happen to run a deficit for the next year. So that's very good, and it's very heartening. My concern with regard to the use of staff, which, as you can see, is one of the highest expenditures of this ANC. We need to have adequate controls on those. We need to make sure that we know what our staff are doing, and we need to manage them appropriately. So I'm glad to hear that we'll continue looking at this and managing it for the next year.
Dave.
Well, we really don't have a staff to manage the staff and controls. That sounds like an organization that doesn't exist.
As there's a lot of time that is spent in trying to help the staff orient themselves. In fact, as I think Jack can report, because he gets all the emails about the gentle, what I hope is gentle chiding and so on, it has been a great deal of time, and I hope you can see the results of your observations, which we can always do better. But one of the results is that we have turned out in the last month a specific list of tasks in a hierarchy, and a report on the time that was spent according to those tasks. Those are things that seem straightforward. But it takes time for people that are not used to this kind of reporting to get used to. So I'm sorry that it has taken time, but I think it's just the nature of the situation. Jack.
In my opinion, the way to resolve this problem is to never do grants again. After we get through this painful experience, we will shut it down. That will handle this problem forevermore.
Phil.
Mr. Vice Chairman, Greg, I think we should call for a vote.
Okay. All in favor signify of adopting this budget, signify by raising your hand. It's 4-0.
Okay, now I have a number of expenses to go over. $100 to Tony Grillo for doing posters for this meeting and the previous meeting. $100 to Lorena Mejia for the interpretation at this meeting and the November 3rd meeting. Now, there are some other expenses. For example, we purchased a new laptop computer and a printer and software largely for Bill Bothler to use to help him out with his staff support. We had intended to write a check for this, but Staples refused our check. And as a result, I was compelled to put this on a credit card. I trust the commission will permit me to reimburse myself. Is there any objection to that?
Are we approving all reimbursements one by one or in
one by one? Yes, sir.
Okay. Even when we don't have to. Well, then, it's to assure the certain commissioners that we are very prudent and are paying attention to everything.
I have no objection.
I'd like to observe that Jack put in a great deal of time on this. And the result is a system that is well below the $1,200 estimate. And furthermore, I hear reports from Bill Butler that he can now work more regularly because before he had to borrow an office and borrow a computer, which put a big crimp in his work and delayed things by many weeks. Back to Jack.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up these are the various things that we purchased, and we also got a number of rebates. Bottom line was $884.93. I think we did really quite well. And the new computer, by the way, is this one here. That is, I took the previous laptop that we used for the projector and turned that over to Butler. So we have a shiny new one running Windows 7 here. That's Juan Carlos is causing a bit of trouble back there. With the microphone.
The commission recognizes Juan Carlos Ruiz.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that the $50 was not there for translation.
No.
No.
Not this one. So all the expenses, the reimbursements are going to go as a package.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Can I make a comment? And the previous item, where is this, the distribution of, in the previous bill, but there's a distribution of flyers for council, for Tony Grillo.
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask if that distribution is also in Spanish.
It's only in English. But you will have to talk to Councilmember Graham about that.
No. So it's good that we have a distribution of those flags, all right? And we are covering the costs. And also the announcement for these meetings. And also, perhaps it's a way to save money for the ANC. The association can produce the flyer once it's in English. We can translate it to Spanish and do the distribution for maybe one-third less of what we're paying right now. But if there's a problem, I don't want to raise, we can talk about later. Yeah. Just want to save costs and also produce the bilingual announcements that for the ANC.
Let me point out that...
The chair recognizes Jack for
Hello? And furthermore, it's just to ensure that so the translation that to be served, and you know, we have come to a few meetings now, and we're wondering if that is the most effective way to announce the meetings, because we need some more diversity in the room for the meetings, all right? So just things to be aware of.
Let me point out that the meeting we are talking about is not an ANC meeting. The meeting we are talking about is a parking meeting for Councilmember Graham. And we are simply, as for convenience, we are doing the flyer distribution for the council member, then the council member reimburses us. So if there are concerns about the flyer being in Spanish or the manner of distribution, that's to be taken up with the council member.
I appreciate that, but you also are our voice, and now that you see that there's a stronger Latino community, we should be aware of that. That's all.
Let me interrupt and say that he has made an offer, and perhaps we can discuss this and regularize it so that that we can get the flyers put in Spanish and other issues on an ongoing basis. I doubt if the council member would object to paying a little extra for such things, and I think that probably all the commissioners would approve an extra expenditure to put our postings into Spanish. Indeed, is it visiting? Let's finish this, and perhaps we can add that to the end of resolutions arising. So, would you please continue? And
let's go back to where I was. We were talking about the new hardware and the reimbursement to me. And the next one is perhaps more difficult. This is a reimbursement to Greg for a transcript of the Historic Preservation Review Board meeting of $435. This is not a routine expenditure. This is Greg's receipt for the expenditure, $435. Perhaps Greg can tell us more about this particular expenditure.
Well, I did discuss it with Stormy, Jack, and Dave before making it, and it seemed that it was necessary for us to understand what we needed to deal with in making the response. We got less than 2 weeks, or about 2 weeks, to respond to the Historic Preservation Review Board, and I have offered a resolution immediately thereafter asking them henceforth to give us these transcripts for free. The problem that we had was that we only had 2 weeks, and the contract with the Historic Preservation Review Board, the reporting agency, is to turn out the transcript in 2 weeks. So without intervention, we would not have been able to have known what was going on.
Let me add a little bit of background to this, because this had to do with the Historic Preservation Review Board hearing concerning the Mount Pleasant Library.
Yes.
And this is this was available as an audio recording, because I did record that web view, but this was not adequate for your purposes, so you wanted the transcript as well, correct?
Yes, and I also shared it with Fay Armstrong and Historic Mount Pleasant, so that to help them in preparing their response as well. So, are we voting on these one by one, or as a package?
No, this be one by one, but I would appreciate a discussion of this particular item. And I see Phil has something
to say.
Thank you. I was made aware, I remember you talking about this at the time you did it. And I can appreciate the fact that you consulted fellow commissioners prior to making that expenditure. Of course, we all recognize that doesn't exactly correlate to direct authorization, because that can only occur in a public meeting when a quorum is present. I think, given the fact that there was an audio transcript available, I mean, there was an audio recording available, and the high cost of this, have said, this is beyond the ken of a typical ANC budget. So I'll be voting against this, but I do that taking note that you already have support from from other commissioners. I would certainly hate to put you at a financial disadvantage doing what you thought was the right thing to do for the commission. But I think if you had consulted me, my advice would have been more along the lines of $435 is too much to pay for a transcript.
Dave, since two commissioners aren't here today, we might want to table this particular item until we have a full ANC.
Jack.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned also about the size of this expenditure and the informal manner of its approval. I do not want this to be setting a precedent that we will then take for the future, because I think we do have to be more careful about having a clear commission authorization of such an expenditure. Telephone conversations with commissioners one by one are not sufficient. So I will be inclined to support this simply because it's over, it's done, and I don't want Greg to be absorbing this kind of a financial hit. But I really hope that we do not do this again.
Well, I don't want to do it again either, because it's a big hit for me, and I don't want to be in a situation where I have to spend several days pleading to get this done. As I recall, Jack's audio did not include all of the discussion. But I was, or at least I was unclear about that, and I wanted.
That could well be. It could well be.
There were parts of it at the time. I believe that was the case, and I thought there were shenanigans in the final part, and I was going to include those in the resolution. But people prevailed upon me, saying the resolution was already too long, and that we should just keep it to specific points. So I believe I operated in a good faith to a situation that has arisen, and the commission has spent several years and over a dozen meetings, actually 16 meetings by count, considering we've had over 1,000 people come to these meetings that we have sponsored or co-sponsored. So this seemed to be a critical issue and remains so. So I would appreciate it if the having heard the chastening about this, that the council view this, the commission view this as a special case.
Mike, can we have a vote on approving my reimbursing Greg to this amount?
All in favor, raise your hand, say aye. 3-1. Was Phil Lepanto?
That's a no, that's correct. Yes.
Phil Lepanto opposing. Okay.
Then $50 to Tony Grillo, and as we were discussing before, this is because Councilmember Graham wanted a flyer distributed to the newly RPP-zoned blocks of Mount Pleasant. And Tony Grillo happens to be convenient for doing that. He lives there. It seemed to be inconvenient for the councilmember to do it. And it also seemed to be inconvenient for the councilmember to compensate Tony Grillo directly. So this is just a little bit of silliness. We pay Tony Grillo $50, then Councilmember Graham pays us $50. So it's a zero on our budget. Phil Potter, staff support.
So we're doing this, this, by the way, okay. No, this is not covered by our budget, so we need a show of
hands.
This
is totally off budget because it's zero.
All in favor of approving this?
Yeah.
4-0.
Okay. Now let me find Bill Bothers.
Okay, that's... This read out loud. I don't want to do that.
Why are you applauding for?
Here we go. Cool. That didn't work.
This is the first one of these that I've seen. I'm delighted. Thank you so much for working to bring this to this meeting, and I think it's excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, Bill has to learn a little bit better how to do this, but you have to respect the effort that he went to tell us exactly what he did and how much time he spent doing these things. He has gotten the message that more detail is required. But I will have to provide him with an Excel spreadsheet, which will make it much easier.
Is the treasurer's report now done?
Hang on, I just get it to the bottom line here. The total on this was $407.40.
Okay. Oh, yes, we haven't.
And... I'm sorry?
I was asking if you were posting this to the forum.
At the moment, the forum is not functional. I'm not sure what I'm to be posting.
Well, I mean...
Google Groups is where...
In other words, how would I want to... If I wanted to review this in more detail...
This is the sort of information which I would post as a file on ANZ1D_new. That's been our repository for such files. So it's not really, I mean, I don't think the forum would be an appropriate place for this, but it certainly should be accessible to all of us. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Just to fill in, as a matter of policy, we decided many years ago to post everything that is reachable by Freedom of Information Act on the Google Groups. Now, we could discuss putting it on our website, but...
Let me clarify on that, Greg, because I mentioned ANZ1D_new. That's a Yahoo group.
Ah.
And the reason I use the Yahoo group rather than the Google group is that the Google group doesn't have as useful a file system. The Google group is better for discussions, but inferior for files. Yahoo does directories and subdirectories and that sort of organization, where the Google group does not, which is why I say I use the ANZ1D Yahoo group for this sort of storage.
Okay. I think this is a topic we should perhaps discuss and further. Phil and I have agreed to engage in some serious discussions about the website.
I'll be happy to go along with
whatever. I'm looking forward to his resolution.
Okay. Finally, you know, is there any problem with my paying Bill Bachler this amount?
Okay. All in favor? 4-0.
4-0. Thank you. Okay, that concludes the treasurer's report.
But I would like to mention that there is an exception to the Freedom of Information Act for personnel matters, which is the reason that the discussions amongst the staff group with Bill about his behavior and chiding him and so on is not made public, because that is not reachable by Freedom of Information Act. Phil.
No, I totally understand that, and I think that is a policy, that is a good policy. But invoices are not personnel matters.
Agree. I'm just trying to clarify the reasons for the boundary, because it's not only for new commissioners that weren't around when we discussed this before, but also for our neighbors.
I vigorously agree.
Okay, good. Committee reports. The first is that I propose that the 1st of December, which is our first Tuesday meeting, be devoted to consideration of the of plans to upgrade and to change Mount Pleasant Street, including a discussion with Mount Pleasant Main Street. I propose that the first meeting of next Tuesday of next month, which is on the 1st of December, have a focus, not exclusive as we have done, as we've agreed, on the dress of Mount Pleasant Main Street and a discussion with Mount Pleasant Main Street that has a project. And after that proposal, I suggest I will discuss some things that I've learned. Jack?
I'm just advising you to hold the microphone closer to your mouth.
Okay.
So what are we calling this?
I'm sorry, did I miss the committee report?
No, this is just the first as a proposal within the Commercial Court Committee to say this is a big issue, and I think we ought to discuss it on the 1st of December.
Well, what are we calling this?
Our informal meeting.
No, the subject.
Oh, the address of Mount Pleasant Street and the Mount Pleasant Main Street proposals.
Now, are you referring to the Mount Pleasant Main Street project that has already been funded by the D.C. government, by DDOT?
Yes, but the details of that are still to be arranged, I'm assured, by...
Okay, but I'm just making this clear that we're talking about this, the Transportation Enhancement Project, which has won funding by Mount Pleasant Main Street, and you want to have the December 1st informal meeting focus on that subject.
Yes, correct? And including alternatives and discussion of consequences, because I'm assured informally by staff of DDOT that the actual expenditures and the details will be determined by them, and they are willing to enter into a continuing discussion about this.
So then I can put on my poster, Transportation Enhancement Project.
Yes.
Adam Hoy said that he could not be here on December 1st. He will be out of town. How serious a problem is that?
Adam Hoy is the president of Mount Pleasant Main Street. But they had, Gabriella Mosi was the one that wrote the proposal, and there are several others in their design committee that did it.
Yeah, personally, I'm okay with this. I think it's a good start.
I mean, in general...
Phil, the chair recognizes Phil.
I apologize. In general, I would urge the commission to adhere to a policy of having the informal meetings be open with regard to agenda and subject, that they should be driven mainly by the public. However, I think it's important to propose subjects for discussion that may draw the public to the meetings. We certainly have to fill the seats. So, in general, I don't understand why we have specific resolutions or take votes on these type of things. But I certainly think that it's apropos to discuss that project. I think it's a good project for Mount Pleasant. I think we're going to benefit from the work that Mount Pleasant Main Street has done, and I think it'll be good to hear them present their plans. I think, if possible, we should get somebody from DDOT as well to talk about how they'll be implementing those plans.
Dave?
Would it be possible to have the community meeting on the 1st as an open meeting and have a special meeting of 2 or 3 hours on the 8th talking about this transportation enhancement project?
Well, I certainly have heard from many commissioners that they want to keep the number of ANC meetings to 2 a month and only have other meetings on an emergency basis. And that has been a long-term policy and so on. Dave?
This could be our second meeting. I certainly won't be there during the next week. I'll be not only out of state but out of country.
Jack?
Yeah, I think it's clear that this meeting would be only a start, that it's going to take us some time to go through the details of what Main Street has proposed and then decide for among ourselves what is appropriate and what is not.
I have heard from two Mount Pleasant civic associations of some long time standing that they quite disagree with the details and even the framework of this project. And my intent is to try to get them to stop going around the ANC and their direct politicking and instead and share their concerns in public.
Who was the they you mentioned?
Well, they didn't want me to say, so that's part of the need to get these things, to get people to come out and say what they're saying in public. Yes, Jack.
One aspect of what Main Street has proposed was the results of the Mount Pleasant traffic study, the recommendations of the Mount Pleasant traffic study. And those recommendations are all very well, but those recommendations have not been thoroughly reviewed by the neighborhood. It's only the starting point for the consultant to Department of Transportation to have offered recommendations. So this jump from a recommendation to implementation is premature. And I think it's appropriate for us to step in at this point and make sure that everything is properly reviewed before it is actually implemented.
Any further discussion? Then let's move to a vote for designating the first as in our informal meeting and with a target topic, let me call it that, but a non-exclusionary target topic as the as proposed, the address of Mount Pleasant Street. All in favor? 4-0. We may disagree on the details, but we often agree on the final resolution. I could also report that I've talked with Karina Ricks, who is the deputy director of DDOT, and she says that. Excuse me if I interpret what she is saying, because I'm not able to give a detailed recording back of it. She says that she recognizes that the ANC needs to, that the law exists for us to review things, that the DDOT has never approved the transportation study. It was just the report that they have concerns about the way that it was handled. And I'm using diplomatic language here. And she promises that we can participate in that the ANC, working to collaboratively, can try to reach out to all parts of the neighborhood and try to engage them in greater public participation about these issues. Phil.
And could you explain who Karina Ricks is?
She's the Deputy Director for Planning of the Department, the District Department of Transportation.
And you are talking to her because you have a direct relationship with her as opposed to the Ward 1 planner, Gabriela Vega.
Yes. I am unable to have constructive conversations with Gabriela Vega. And I am responding, in fact, to a direct invitation from Karina Ricks at the end of a hearing where she approached me and said, let's, her door and phone is open and we ought to start to talk about these things before they reach commentary and public hearings.
So will you invite Karina Ricks to the meeting on December 1st?
I'll see. She told me that she has very little time, that with the stimulus package and other things that she is barely able to do anything. And so we'll see what we can do.
I mean, one thing that I think is critical, and I think you and I talked about this on the phone, is that there is a question of procedure here that you and Jack have expressed concern about, in that the Department of Transportation has approved these grants that were built upon the transportation study in which there has not been adequate ANC review. I believe that's what we discussed this afternoon. So I think it is not just, I think it's wrong for us to hold Mount Pleasant Main Street accountable for that issue. I think it's a DDOT issue. So having somebody from DDOT at this meeting to hold them accountable to that process is really the most productive use of expressing that concern, rather than, working, in other words, rather than criticizing volunteer organizations from within our own community.
I have said such a thing in some of my discussions, that it is the subject of some of the resolutions that I'm proposing. Let me go directly to one with Tariq Bolden, just to check in and see how things are going. I'll come back to Karina Ricks. And that is that he told me that the impression in the Office of Planning from their discussions with Peter Nichols is that the Office of Planning does not need to pay much attention to ANCs. And so when I brought to his attention, tried to bring to his attention the DC law about this, he said that nobody in their office knows about the law, and that he said that if we can present to him an organized discussion of the law, then that I would find in him a stalwart that would lobby the whole agency to come into compliance with the law. Stalwart.
Strong. The useful synonym for stalwart is strong.
Certainly, I can appreciate your frustration with the way our mayor's administration is not paying attention to certain laws. I think the council would ask you to get in line behind them in their criticism. And I think we have our own issues with that, but so we certainly have some education ahead of us.
Indeed. And I've discussed this with Rob Waldeck and gotten an estimate of what it would take for him to draft a handbook that would lay it all out, including case law, in clear ways that we could present to the agencies. Because it turns out that as I talk with them, they claim they're too busy to look up the law, and they say it is our responsibility to do so because we are the ones that are complaining, and the ones that complain have the burden of proof. I find that astonishing, but it's across the board with so many agencies that it's a reality that I suggest we address. To returning to Karina Ricks, I discussed with her some ideas about the day pass system and a shuttle system that this ANC has long backed with many resolutions in the past. At the Rosemont meeting that Jack and I attended with the council member Jim Graham, people repeatedly talked about the need for a shuttle system because we need something to get people from mass transit the last couple of blocks to their house, and they can't manage babies and bags of groceries and all kinds of things, and a shuttle system would handle that. So I think at least 40% of the people at that meeting requested a shuttle system. We have here a chance to put the two ideas together. And Karina Ricks told me that she thought that was an excellent idea. She backs it, and that she would turn it over to the to a university for study.
Great. I'm sorry, this needs a little help.
I'm sorry, it's very complicated, all the issues that come along.
Okay.
So can we
synthesizing is not part of what you were saying, because it's too complicated.
Would someone help me?
Greg has asked the Deputy Director of Planning at the Department of Transportation to also consider a shuttle system and a, what was the other thing?
In conjunction with the day pass system.
And the day pass parking system as part of the transportation questions at the informal meeting on December 1st.
Not quite. Just to open up a line of discussion with her in accordance with her request that if we have ideas, bring them to her directly and see how we can start to work them out informally before we move to resolutions. And that is, of course, open to any commissioner to do so. I'm operating not as an officer of the commission, except that we have resolutions on both of these issues. And I think it is in keeping for an officer to bring it to the attention of the officers of the administration. So she said that her next response would be to take the idea and ask a university, which Jack guesses is Howard University, to study the idea and come up with details and for analysis of what the problems might be and what the benefits might be. And I mention this because it has a great deal to do with the commercial corridor, because the marketing consultant said that the presence of a shuttle jitney system could double the profitability of the merchants on the strip. No, it's a report of the Commercial Corridor Committee.
I just want to respectfully encourage this response to be a little more briefly, because it's so hard to find out all these standards coming out of the community. And we don't want to discourage the participation of our community here. So it's nothing against you, Greg. It needs to be a more effective way to do these reports. And we can all be part and understand it. Since so much for people, we do not know unless we are closer to educating ourselves. But to try to do that in a meeting like this is not true. Even when we try to translate this, it's hard to try to. We can't translate what you're saying, that means nothing, because there's no thought across the time. Just be respectful, and I'm sorry, and jump in.
Phil.
I think we need to be respectful of the fact that this ANC has to conduct business in public, and we need these committee reports. The Commercial Corridor Committee is the only committee that exists that advocates on behalf of the ANC in a wide variety of venues. As we discussed, we do not have more than two ANC meetings a month, so it's very critical that we get these reports at these formal business meetings where the committee report is. So I appreciate that there is a lot of minutia and a lot of detail, but I think that they're very necessary, and I'm sorry that we have to take time to do them, but if we don't, then I am simply not able to stay informed as I need to be.
I would also like to add that any things that are not understood, the purpose of the informal meetings is to have long and extended discussion with our neighbors, so these things can be thoroughly understood. So any of the issues that come up, and that you're welcome to call your commissioner, and if that is not sufficient, you're welcome to come to the meeting, the next one is on the 1st, and raise the issues and demand of the commission that you get some in-depth answers. Jack.
In this spirit,
Would it be appropriate for me to offer a brief report on the parking meeting that was held by Councilmember Graham last month, as it may affect the neighborhood at large?
Dave.
Well, I would really like to get a sense of the commission on the motion to tell the council to get with it on the renter protection legislation, because I'm going to be there tomorrow. If we can do everything, and you can still talk about some other meeting you went to, fine.
Then let me defer that to another time.
Since these are really serious issues, and I believe the commission, that the neighborhood is at a crossroads of which direction it's going to go, and we need to understand the details, let me respond to David, and consider that to be a motion to break what we're doing now temporarily, consider his resolution, and then return, because I also have news about the Deauville and some other things.
Let's not make it a motion. Let's just do it.
Okay. David, would you read your motion?
Well, no, which one are we speaking of here? Not this one.
No.
13. Thank you.
Let me give just a little background. There are laws on the books that protect tenants, but there's no really enabling legislation to put any teeth into them and have the administration carry them out. So the council has some legislation to enforce tenant code, to have inspections more than once every 10 years, for instance, and to get the landlords to fix up the apartments or have the city to fix them up for them. Those are several of the things. And this is just to tell the council to get with it and pass the legislation to protect the tenants. So it reads, whoops.
Open office.
So it reads, the ANC 1D advises City Council to pass the Omnibus Rental Housing Amendment Act of 2009, Bill 18-0092, and the Tenant Protection Act of 2009, Bill 18-0042, in order to maintain and improve quality accessible housing in the District of Columbia.
I'll second it, since Dave does that service for me all the time. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, we can move to a vote.
Wait. Sorry, I guess I would like a little bit of an introduction as to why this hasn't been done before, because this seems so simple. What change is this from the current legislation?
Their current legislation exists in bits and pieces and in some coherent legislation without any enforcement provisions. The City Council may pass this because this is asking the mayor to do things and his agencies to do things, such as have inspections in the apartments.
Let me go through the commission first and see, because as you've heard, this the commission views this as a meeting in public, not with the public. Okay. Any other discussion? Phil.
Just briefly, who is the sponsor of this legislation?
This is Mary Che's office, and she has... she has trimmed this down from a previous bill Harry Thomas introduced last session that died in Schwartz's committee. because she wanted to have support for running again. That didn't seem to work. So Harry Thomas has reintroduced it into Che's committee, and most of the committee members are working with it to make it passable.
And there's a hearing on this tomorrow?
There's a hearing tomorrow in committee to put it into the committee of the whole, which is the whole city council, in a week or two.
Are you asking the commission for authorization to testify on behalf of this commission for passage of this bill?
No, I testify in any case. I'm simply trying to get a sense of the commission for what that's worth.
Jack.
So at the moment, this is in committee and has not yet emerged from committee. So there's not exactly a big hurry for city council passage. Is that correct? That is, what I'm suggesting is that advising the committee.
Yes, the critical element is to get it out of committee. Most bills die in committee. That's the easy way to do it. It never gets to the city council. So we want to impress upon the committee members that there is a wide respect for this legislation.
Can it be rephrased to address the committee rather than city council?
They are city council.
No, but the action you are asking for is for the committee to report it out favorably.
Well, we could stick the committee in if you wanted to, but it's all city council.
I would like to observe that I support this without understanding all the political details. I especially want to support it because I've been in the same situation where I understand what's going on and the details, and very often it's critical. You don't want it, if it's tabled or delayed or anything, it essentially eviscerates all the work that somebody has done in understanding it. And I would like to support this also with Dave's observation and Jack's observation that most of these things are ongoing battles, and the more we will inform ourselves step by step as we go along, and welcome other commissioners to enter in collaboration to support these things. If there's no other discussion, may we call for a vote? Yes, Jack.
I appreciate the existence of a real problem. Everybody knows there is a real problem of basically bad landlords. My problem here is I haven't seen the text of this act, of either of these acts, so I don't know what's in this. I wonder if we could get an opinion from David Vaca concerning Councilmember Graham's position.
First, just a minute, I'd like to correct something. The text has been provided for a matter of weeks in computer link form.
I agree with David that this resolution has been posted for some time, and any commissioner could have gone and done the research on it. I'm worried that we put too many barriers in before commissioners that are trying to do work, and that any one of us could call him and have spoken with him about this beforehand. But does the commission wish to support Jack's motion that we hear from David Vaca? Do I see nods of heads? Phil?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to hear from David Vaca, and I believe Juan Carlos Ruiz also asked to comment on this.
Do I have the permission of the commission to recognize these two, for each of them not to exceed 3 minutes? You're recognized, David Vaca.
Yes, this is David Vaca, for the record. What did you want to ask in particular? I can answer as best as I can.
Does Councilmember Graham have a position on these bills?
be honest, I believe he does, but I do not did not check before I left, so I'm kind of hesitant to give an answer on the chance that I might be wrong. Sorry, if I'd known these were going to come up at this meeting, I would have had a chance to check in advance.
David, we appreciate the great deal of work that you put into our neighborhood, and this is in no way a criticism of your energy. But to observe, now we have a new institution where there's a link to all of the resolutions that are introduced by commissioners. And so you perhaps didn't know about it, but now you can go and see the details of everyone before you come. And if you have time, I know you're very busy, you could make inquiries.
Well, I would certainly make time. Is it from the ANC 1D website?
Yes, it is.
Then I can find it from there.
Good. Thank you. The chair now recognizes Juan Carlos Ruiz.
Thank you. The Latino Association of Mount Pleasant strongly support these two bills. Basically, because we'll do the following. We'll increase the protection for tenants. Number two, we'll look into more proactive ways to apply code violations into the buildings. An example is, we know the young boy who was killed in 14 and Columbia Road, and now that we have got into the building, it's over 125 violations, code violations, that exist in that building. We could avoid perhaps the death of this boy if we could have officials going into the building and deal with the bad landlord who actually lives here in Lamont Street and prevent the death of a child. So the Latino Association support these bills, ask for the full support to the commission in these bills. And there's one more thing that this does is provides the force needed for also use some other funds in the city to ensure that the tenants are relocated when the buildings are in bad conditions and need to be shut down. So this has strengthened the tenants' rights, and we're looking forward that they will protect families and children in the future.
Dave.
Yeah, I would just like to lower the temperature. It really doesn't matter what we do here as far as the bill. I just wanted to get a sense of the commission, and if the commission decides that they're ignorant and want to be educated on this bill, we could do it later. It really doesn't matter.
May I call for a vote now? All those in favor, raise their hand and say, yeah. To support this? Three. Are those opposing? Those abstaining? And so it is 3-0-1 with Commissioner Jack McKay abstaining. If I may, there are a couple of other resolutions that may be critical right now. One is we are running out of time on an appeal for the library issue. And another is a promise I made to support the Office of Zoning to get the webcasting that I would like to come through with. And then there's the issue of 3132. Mount Pleasant Street.
3121?
3121.
I would suggest we deal with 3121 Mount Pleasant Street right now. That's high priority.
Okay. Stormy Jack and I discussed the resolution, and I think we came up with a shortening of it that does the trick and leaves flexibility for the future. So it's the second one of those. You're not included. Oh, okay. So you just took that out. Okay, may I read it? Resolved, ANC 1D advises the D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development to support a bridge loan sufficient for next steps for the 3121 Mount Pleasant Street Cooperative to purchase the building. I discussed this, by the way, with the folks at the DHCD, and they said this would be sufficient. Phil.
We discussed this on my return to Washington some time ago. And I thank you for giving me a report while I was out of town. My understanding was that the residents of this building came to our last informal meeting asking for a specific resolution to be passed. Is that correct?
Yes.
And was that what you had in your file there but a moment ago? Would it be okay for me to briefly read what that was before?
Well, first I've got to seek a second to my motions for their... Okay, thank you. And then...
I certainly appreciate our newfound economy for words, but I feel like what they offered is much more forceful. Why are we not supporting what they had given us?
It includes a lot of extra details that are not sufficient. We have not really understood the situation. I called and spent a couple of days trying to figure out what was going on and was told that we would have time to understand it and it would be all explained to us in 2 or 3 months when they go to their continuation loan.
Yes, we are really only dealing with the bridge loan at this point, and we don't want to put any conditions on approval or disapproval of any following loans, mainly because of a question on how long these units will be affordable.
Jack.
Yeah, the brief reform avoids a couple of difficult topics which we just do not have to deal with at this time, so they are best avoided.
Thank you. Are we ready to move to a vote? All in favor? 4-0. Thank you. May I ask now that you put up, there is a revision for the library. While he's getting that, let me see if I can slip in a further brief report. I went to the, I think you ought to know about these things. If you don't, let me know. I'll change. But I went yesterday to the one-hour meeting of questions. Okay, here we are.
Is that the correct one? The next steps? Or is it something else?
Is there one on the... I've lost track of which ones were revised.
This is your revised...
Yes, okay, then that is it.
So this is the one you want to consider at this time?
Yes.
So this resolution is really the ANC talking to itself then?
Indeed, I would actually, I don't know what happened. I would like to add some language to it, which is that the budget for this is 12 hours of staff time for $420. If the commission would allow me more, then
Repeat the amount, please. Repeat.
$420.
$420?
Yes. Which is de minimis, I think, for such an important thing. I tried to ask for more before, like 500 or 1,000, but got shot down. And I would also like to add another $420 for us to authorize the staff to prepare a memo for agencies to on the handling, and ourselves on the handling of ANC resolutions. Perhaps that should be separated. Okay. But I thought I saw general support for that. It's not a big expenditure. Resolved, ANC 1D authorizes its staff to advise on best next steps and on the current legal situation with the Mount Pleasant Library plans. If appropriate, then the staff may draft specific language to uphold a 1D resolutions. Do I see a second? Thank you. Oh, okay. Is there a second? No, you don't support this, Dave? Would you support at least seconding a discussion?
Well, I thought you said we were on a short fuse and that our appeal time was running out. This doesn't look like it's a short fuse resolution.
It is. It's to get something done immediately.
This looks like it is to advise us on the situation.
Point of order, we need a second in order to have a discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Phil.
To echo Commissioner Bosserman's questioning, I'm really stuck on the sort of phrase here, authorizes its staff to advise on best next steps, and then in the second sentence, may draft specific language to uphold 1D's resolutions. That is unclear to me in terms of what they would be drafting a specific language for and where that language would go. However, that being said, as the mechanics of this particular resolution, I feel very strongly that the library process should continue forward, and the ANC has spoken at length on this issue, and I don't think that I'm supporting any more ANC activity on the library issue at this time.
Jack.
By staff, we are referring to Bill Butler, is that correct?
No, Rob Waldeck.
Rob Waldeck. What can Rob Waldeck do in $420?
I mean, well, the first thing he can do is to...
My point is that this is not very much time for a lawyer.
Well, I know, but I got an estimate of what it would require for him to, first of all, lay out what all the timetables are for the from the statutes. And he's much better at it than I. And secondly, to sketch a what could be the basis of an appeal of the fact that, I believe the fact that both the DCPL and the Historic Preservation Review Board did not follow DC law on answering our resolutions. Jack.
I think we are beating a dead horse here. That this issue has been worked very, very hard over many, many months, and it's not just the ANC, but other neighborhood groups have fought this. It is very clear to me that the political forces downtown are supporting the library in what it wants to do. I don't see any point in pursuing this any further. I think money spent now will be money wasted.
Let me answer, say that there are three avenues that I think are still open. One is the courts, which Jim Graham recommended to in a meeting with Commissioner Chris Otten. Chris Otten, saying that that we should take advantage of the courts. Same thing that I heard from Phil Mendelson, saying that's what that's our answer to when agencies ignore us. The second avenue is Jim Graham, who is still considering the issue. And that's the reason why there's a petition going around that has already obtained, I believe, 250 signatures. The third is that the mayor's staff is still working on this. And if we don't go forward, I think there will be a signal that the people that are still working with those avenues should give up. And there are people putting a great deal of time into this at this point. And it would also be a signal, I think, that agencies can ignore ANC resolutions that have been developed over a lot of time with impunity. Dave.
I take it the remaining issues that we are considering is the back of the building looks ugly, the ramp impedes fire trucks, and it's a terrible thing to ask handicapped or any other people to go up and down that ramp. Are those the items?
At the recommendation of the mayor's staff, and where they think they have a chance to convince the mayor or to deal with it, the ramp is the one issue. The aesthetics of the rear back is too squishy, but these two things are very tangible, appeal to a lot of people, could endanger a lot of people, and are worth fighting for. So I try to keep this to a minimum investment, recognizing that the patience of the commission is running thin. But there are these three avenues that that are still active, and if you decide to vote no on this, then I think they will be extinguished. Jack.
I think this is going to be decided at a much higher level than ours. The mayor's office, the council member, city council, I think we have spoken. And I think it's time for us to sit back and let the higher-ups deal with it.
Dave. Did I see your hand? Okay. Okay. Would the commission allow me to Juan Carlos?
Thank you. The Latino Association has been exploring this issue. Again, we have come out late after all this process, and we have serious question about the participation of the Latino community in the decision of this expansion. We have hired a consultant to give us an assessment of the danger of this expansion of this library. The consultant got very ill. He went to the emergency room, unfortunately. And he came out 2 days ago from the room and is going to give us a final assessment in the next 2 or 3 days. And in my conversations with Greg is that we need to keep our options open. The decisions are going to take at the highest level. We as a community and as an ANC, US ANC, cannot give up in the future of the families that live in these buildings, the families affected. And you know the issue, families living in the buildings. If there's a new fire, we will be having almost the same experience as we have in the lobby building, with no access to that. So I will ask for support for this resolution because we just lining up a lot of different pieces to continue the fight. And we have a short window, and we are clear about that, but we must do it.
Dave. One last comment. I agree that this is much bigger than us, but I don't think we should shy from things that are beyond our neighborhood, but that impact our neighborhood. Yes, the mayor and his people will do what they want, but we should certainly do what's in our interest in our own neighborhood, even though it does involve all of Ward 1 and really all the city. So think about the people who are living here and what their interests are. Is this ramp and its attendant safety item enough of a problem that we should continue addressing it?
Phil.
I take the support and thoughts of the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant very seriously. And I'm glad that we have such a strong attendance from that civic association at these meetings. So I want to address directly your concerns. In my estimation, as I have tried to study this issue and talked with what the library has presented and what I've seen from other activists in the ward, I believe that the fire safety issue is not is not as dire as it is made out to be. I do not believe that the fire department would actually try and use the space between those buildings to fight fires. I think that the single most important thing that we can do as an ANC, as a city, is to advocate to have those buildings renovated to include sprinkler systems. That will make those buildings much more safe than it will be to preserve some 15 to 20 feet of grass in between these different buildings. And I don't think that it is the right thing to do to hold up the library expansion as part of that. We need more library services in this densest part of the city. And I have been a strong supporter of that throughout this entire process. As to the handicapped ramp, I can certainly appreciate the difficulties that people might have. But again, I think that the perfect can be the enemy of the good, and that I have continued to voice my support for the expansion as it is. And that's why I'll be voting against this resolution.
Let me address. I have spoken with the battalion chief who says that, in fact, this is necessary for ladder trucks to get back. And he specifically pulled out the code, the International Fire Code, where it says that this is the kind of thing that is needed. And he reported to me that usually the fire department, when it is not in a political situation, strongly supports this kind of access. In fact, usually demands it. So I would like to report that I have looked into this, and I have firsthand discussions with people that are directly at the grassroots level involved in fighting the fires, and got them to come out and look at it, so that my evidence is diametrically opposed to your report. Jack.
I recall that we had this discussion months ago in the Mount Pleasant Library, and the fire chief and the fire marshal refused to admit that this was any kind of a problem for them. And that was just a devastating blow to this whole argument. So we're in the position of arguing that we know better than the fire chief what is safe and what is not safe. But this was a message that at very high levels, this decision has been made. And there's really no point in continuing this battle. It's over. Without the support of the fire chief, the fire marshal, our arguments are not going to prevail.
Sure.
We have met with Council Member Jim Graham, and we, as a group in his office, and we also met with him at a public meeting at the park. And in those places, he has mentioned to us that he will be open to see the report of independent office that can be impartial about it. And you know, it's when Obama started the campaign to run for president, he was low in the polls. And he didn't give up, and now he is a president. When I was told that I could never survive when I left my country, I never give up, and I'm still alive. I don't think we need to give up. I think we need to fight until the end. The message that we send to our community is to have the right to fight until the end. It's not the issue of the sprinklers. The sprinklers for us as a community, the strength that we have is on our elected officials. And that's when we need to hold them accountable to it, because those are the ones who represent us. But landlords, they have a homeowners of building. It will take us years of a lot of work and dedication to convince those landlords and prepare new legislations, get a lot of support to create some time or tax incentive so these landlords can put their sprinklers in those buildings. All these buildings are in jeopardy here if we are not thinking proactively. When I thought about the child that died on Saturday, I thought, how terrible is that we have a child that died in front of three Latino organizations, a house that was infested by gang members. We didn't think proactively. We were reacting. And now it's mornings and stuff, and that's not acceptable. We have the right to be preventive, be proactive, and not be just reactive to the issues that happen to our community.
I would like to also address the issue of decisions made on high. I spoke with Councilmember Graham last week, and he assured me that his mind is still open and that he wants to listen to agencies and civic organizations here. So that's why I think that if the ANC says no, that it will be devastating. Secondly, is that I believe that there are lives at stake, and that I think that if we balance off the library services to stipulate Phil's point that we should not lose those, well, I don't think we're going to lose them very much because with some delay, because there's not much extra service going to be delivered, and we'll have continuing service nearby as a result of this ANC's intervention. So that that I think prudence says that lives are much more important, and the possibility of lives is there. But it appears that the discussion is essentially done. Let me call for a vote, unless there's further. Okay, all in favor of this resolution? Hopefully somebody will abstain. Okay, all opposed? The motion fails 2-2. Now, may I ask for consideration, because I think it would be prudent at this point to respond and ask for $420 for the staff to prepare an answer. For us to prepare to ask the staff to prepare an outline of what the DC agencies and our responsibilities are on handling resolutions. I think that small investment could amount to a huge result. Phil says he doesn't want to consider this. Dave?
You're a mind reader, aren't you? You're asking for money to get advice on agencies' attitudes?
No, to prepare a memorandum to submit to them so that they know that what their their duties
to prepare something simple that even a government worker could understand, telling him that they should tell the ANC what's going on.
And respond to our resolutions point by point.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so may I consider that to be a motion in a second?
Yes.
Okay.
David Vaca wanted to say something.
David.
Yes. Yeah, sorry to jump back to an earlier discussion, but on relation to the tenant bills, I was able to look up the legislative information remotely, and Councilmember Graham has signed on as an introducer to both pieces of legislation.
Good, thank you. Phil.
I would like to lodge a protest with the chair for introducing resolutions that are not on the agenda when we already have business ahead of us. It's not to say that I oppose in principle the idea that we may one day do this work, but I would question, as Jack did, that $420 is a sufficient amount of money to do that, and B, we already have a substantial list of agenda items that were prepared in advance. So I really must protest the ad hoc introduction of resolutions. And it was a leading question as to whether you got a second on that.
Phil, let me agree with you generally. And indeed, I had prepared a written version of the resolution, and I thought I had submitted it only 2 hours in advance, but in advance. And somehow or another, in the confusion of things, that it did not get in. So my intent was not to do so at the last moment, but to do so earlier. And I believe I have the documentation to show you that I'm not acting in bad faith on that. Because I agree with you, and you can, it would be hypocritical of me to do that when I protested at a recent meeting the last minute introduction of resolutions. So I assure you that I agree with you in all cases except of emergencies, and this is not an emergency. But I was asking the Commission's indulgence to allow me to move forward on this, because if I could strike now with a number of the conversations that I've had, I think I could change minds and get a very different response from a number of DC agencies. So there's an element of criticality in this. So I accept your admonition, and I plead inadvertence. Dave.
Well, this does cut across everything that we do in this ANC, and if we could get a clear statement of how existing law applies to government agencies in regards to the ANC, it would be useful.
Jack.
Right now, I do not know what it is, what the motion is that is under discussion.
Good. And I'm sorry that... may I... Thank you, Phil. Resolved. ANC 1D authorizes its staff... to prepare a memo to DC agencies and 1D on DC code and case law handling of ANC resolutions for an amount not to exceed $420. The reason it's short and clear is that I had written it and revised it before. So So if I can assume this to be a motion and we have a second, is there further discussion? Jack, you look unhappy.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before. Basically, that the DC code is very unclear, and there's not much case law. So the bottom line is that ANCs do not have much real legal authority, and DC agencies are pretty much free to ignore us. Really, all the law requires is that they respond to our resolutions, not that they obey them. All they have to do is issue a response, explain why they don't want to do what the ANC has asked, and that's the end of it. That's the end of their obligation. So I don't see any point in pursuing this any further. That is the legal situation.
Let me answer that. We have already paid for Rob Waldeck to pull out 30-odd pages of case law and just the extracts from it that deal with specific requirements. But it is in a form that I tried sending to a DC agency, and they threw up their hands and they said they didn't understand it. So I think if we sent in from a lawyer a clear, brief version of it, that it can be done quickly within budget and without much extra, and it would be a small investment to reap a potentially much greater reward. Dave.
Could we put those very words in a clear and brief memo?
Yes. Phil.
It is my understanding that Rob Waldeck's primary engagement with this ANC is to assist with working on this exact issue as it relates to the appeal of the entertainment endorsement for Don Juan's restaurant and carryout. I don't understand why we need to allocate additional funds to do this, and I also agree with Jack.
Well, my answer is that it's a small extra amount to utilize a body of research that we have already gotten, but to repurpose it so that we could get some benefit. I think it looks like discussion is over. Jack.
Let me point out that I added the word legal staff. I specified
fine.
Legal staff.
That's fine. I accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Personally, I think it appears to me that we are calling on Rob Waldeck to summarize his findings in a brief memo. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm okay with that much, even though I am still convinced that the result is going to be that advisory neighborhood commissions can only offer advice, and that advice can freely be ignored by any and all district agencies.
Not easily, though, as we've seen, because in the case of the Don Juan's appeal, Peter Nichols has buckled in. He has... He is saying remand, and this time consider the full ANC resolutions. Are we ready for a vote? First, Phil.
Would you, along the lines of what Jack just noted, would you accept as a friendly amendment the insertion of the phrase authorizes its legal... Well, I mean, I'm going to read and then throw in the new phrasing. Resolve ANC1D authorizes its legal staff to prepare a clear and brief memo, comma, based upon work already completed to DC agencies and 1D on the DC codes, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me propose that be research rather than work. Would that be appropriate?
Yes. Well, I don't want to hobble him because we're getting a concessionary rates at about 1/7 of what he usually charges, and I think we should leave him a little wiggle room and not be too micromanaging. But if that's what is required to get Jack's vote, yeah. What do you say, Jack? You want more restrictions?
On that basis, I will support this.
Okay. Well, then, on an informal basis, it's been amended against my advice, and so let's proceed. Will you include that language? It's already included? Okay. We're calling the vote now. All in favor? 4-0. Thank you. It's now 9:04. Do we want to consider other business, or shall we adjourn?
Let's take a look at the list and then decide.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's critical?
Yeah, the list is on display of resolutions in hand.
I submit to the chair and to my fellow commissioners that I would like to take up the Hatch Act issue, if at all possible. I'd like to undertake a discussion of the Hatch Act resolution number 12.
I agree. Any other comments? Of course, I would like to get the agency transcriptions in as well, because I think it's straightforward and it could save us a lot of trouble. It's very short.
And
that's number four.
And would be perfectly ineffectual.
I don't think so.
I'm getting very cynical as a result of having been an agency commissioner for 7 years. I'm very cynical about getting anything done. Sorry. Editorial comment.
That's fine. We're all sovereign commissioners. Only we can be, our constituents can recall us. Actually, I think this is going to work, because although they didn't need to do it, after we adopted another
open discussion on that.
Okay. What?
We have not opened discussion on that.
Okay,
that.
You're right. I'm out of order. So let's take 7 and see if we can do 6. 7. Hatch Act. Or it isn't 7. Sorry, it's Hatch Act. Jack, would you care to read it?
Resolve that ANC Wendy advises the Council of the District of Columbia and Delegate of the House of Representatives Eleanor Holmes Norton that there should be a local DC Hatch Act that eliminates restrictions on political activity by advisory neighborhood commissioners.
Okay, is there any discussion? Dave.
Yes, the council, I believe, is considering this, but they haven't included ANC commissioners as exempt. They've included the mayor's office and all the council and all their staff, which raises a lot of points that we don't need to get into here because it doesn't involve us. But so I think we could ask David Vaca for language about this if the council is already considering. We don't want them to consider a local DC Hatch Act. We want them to put the ANC commissioners as exempt in any Hatch Act they consider.
Phil.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue that is coming up in a lot of different ways.
Excuse me. The chair would ask our beloved neighbors if they could hold their conversation until they have exited the hall. Thank you so much for your courtesy. We all want to hear Phil.
Thank you. So, I mean, this is a controversial issue. I read recently that there is an interpretation of the current legislation that is being proposed that would effectively undo the good of what the Hatch Act is trying to accomplish on a federal basis. And that goes to, I think, what you mentioned with regard to council members being able to direct their city-paid staff to do political work as part of their efforts. That is certainly something that I would be against. However, I do think that it is an egregious example of how different arms of the district government ignore the fourth branch of the district government as chartered, the ANCs. So I definitely support this resolution that that we should have a local Hatch Act that eliminates restriction on political activity by advisory neighborhood commissioners. I wonder if Jack would welcome as a friendly amendment the insertion of the phrase at the end, and I'll be happy to type this up in a second, but essentially saying that we also advise Eleanor Holmes Norton to revise the federal law to exclude advisory neighborhood commissioners in such a case that a local D.C. Hatch Act does not get passed.
I have a small observation that I don't know where it fits in, is that I have used the Hatch Act many times over my terms of office to resist various politicians demanding that I support them in exchange for political support in return. So I like it as a shield in many ways, because it takes me out of the crossfire and gives me an excuse to avoid getting involved in politics that are so far above my power that I have nothing to trade. Phil,
just as a discussion, this is one of those instances of it reminds me of the play The Devil and Daniel Webster. If you are going to say that the ANCs must be respected as a body of government, and that we have a certain role to play in the city that needs to be respected, then I feel that we need to advocate for that type of respect, and we can't let ourselves be omitted from this type of legislation. It's very important, I think, as ANC commissioners, that we have that role to play. We are elected representatives. We do have to be political in our efforts, not just to sit in the commission, but also to get things done down in City Hall. So I think it's very important that we have the same protections as the other political offices that are elected to the city.
May I raise an issue? Excuse me. Yeah. My fears would be assuaged if it were for nonpartisan political activity, because we are nonpartisan representatives. And I think it would be good to preserve the nonpartisan nature of these offices. Once we are put into the larger swim, then there is no holding back partisan engagement and force. Dave.
The main impetus for getting rid of the Hatch Act for ANC people is that ANC people have and always will run for office. This is a perhaps crib or a learning nursery for politicians. And to say that they can't run for office because they're ANC commissioners, or would have to quit and then run for office. The same thing to do with school teachers, but we aren't going to address that here.
No, I completely agree with you on that, that they should be allowed to run for office. And that is a mistake in the current interpretation. All I'm asking for is that that the retention of the idea that commissioners cannot be involved in fundraising for partisan offices. Jack.
Recall that the purpose of the Hatch Act is to protect federal employees from pressure from politicians to support them or lose their jobs. That's the point of the Hatch Act, is to protect employees from political pressure. We are under no such pressure, so it makes no sense for advisory neighborhood commissioners to be restricted by the provisions of the Hatch Act. It's irrelevant to us. It's just an oversight that we are inadvertently included, and we should fix that.
You've overcome my reservations. I will support the resolution. And thank you for discussing my concerns. Are we ready to vote? All in favor, signify 4-0.
Thank you.
It's now 15 after, although I have some resolutions I think are critical. I also see that our patience is wearing thin. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Correct.
Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor of adjourning now? 4-0.
They adjourned at 9:14.
Just one quick thing. Saturday we're doing a Thanksgiving dinner for the community of Wow.